Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members. Thank you for your support of Major Spoilers and the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you, everyone, for downloading and sharing this podcast with a friend. And thank you for all those great emails you're sending to us at podcast@majorspoilers.com. We will have another mailbag very soon. So if you've got questions, we have answers. Send them in ASAP. So last time, we finally got some people out of the city and on their way.
Yay.
And we are ready to turn our attention to Eel Island, I believe, Rodrigo.
Right. So, last time
on Critical Hit.
What did happen last time on Critical Hit?
Well, we calculated the gross national product of Coalport.
Yes. Got some refugees out of the plague district.
We didn't realize there was a ship dogging our every move.
Just okay. We are observant.
Because it's our own ship.
Yes, I suppose if a mysterious skyship is following you around, it's good if it's your own.
Yeah.
There you guys are at the northwestern edge of the city of Coalport, watching a bunch of refugees escorted by some people who have, in fact, stabbed you in the past.
Oh,
really?
How do we know they're good?
Yeah, no, I mean, stabbing. Seriously.
And they seem honorable, so we know that nothing can possibly go wrong.
Oh, yeah. It's all business for them.
You said it.
Why did you say that?
Because I can.
Because he edits the show.
So, yes. All right. As I said, there you guys are.
Okay. So,
Is now morning?
Yep.
Yes.
And we have spent the whole night wrangling refugees.
Mm-hmm.
Are we in a state to immediately embark on a tour, or do we maybe need to rest and recuperate and actually, plan for what we are about to do next?
Two questions on that front.
Mm-hmm.
How long will it take us to get to Island by via Baroness?
Mm-hmm. And does it have autopilot?
And how many of us are needed to be awake to pilot it?
That's a good question.
Okay, so the answer to that is the Baroness does sort of have an autopilot, but it's not the most reliable thing in the world. It's a lot better at finding a signal than it is at like staying on course for any other given thing. That said, it's going to take a long time to get to that island. It's at least like it's a month-long trip from what you guys have gathered. And by that, I don't mean a month. I mean you would measure the time in months. The Eel Island is a halfway point between the central and southern continents, and those continents are not close to each other.
Right. So we're embarking on a long trip.
Correct.
Would the Baroness be traveling faster than a ship that possibly the Salamander's Coil was on?
Presumably. The Baroness is pretty fast, but most of the experience that you guys have with the Baroness is overland. So that means that, yeah, the Baroness is incredibly fast compared to horses or anything that has to deal with terrain. Mm-hmm. But out at sea, it has to contain with nearly the same stuff, mm-hmm. that being the wind. Now, the Baroness is self-propelled, so you guys don't necessarily have to have a dead ship if the wind dies. But if the wind is working against you, you're basically still working against the wind.
Sure.
It's basically, the Baroness is a fast ship, but out at sea, that gets nullified a lot more. Well, furthermore, the coil has at least,
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Mm-hmm. On you guys.
That's why I was wondering if... I guess my other question is, are there other... my guess is that there are other stops between Coldport and Eel Island where people would restock for provisions and those kinds of things.
Not from what you guys have heard.
Oh, okay.
There's probably a couple of small islands like just south of the continent, but after it's big open space.
Okay. Hmm. So do we have provisions for that month, that long of a trip?
I don't think so.
Because I'm not eating elven granola.
Yeah. Well, if we cook it, it tastes fine.
Says you.
All right. So,
we'll be on a boat. We could presumably fish.
We do need to assess the status of the rations and or supplies on the Baroness. And presumably enhance them somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the very least... some sort of provisions, additional provisions, will almost certainly be a good idea.
Yep.
Sounds reasonable.
I mean, you don't make a voyage of that length overseas without, you know, lots and lots of rum.
And preparation.
Yeah. So,
do we want to check out the docks? To figure out what they would actually need? What we would need on the boat.
Well, presumably something to eat and something to drink.
Yeah.
Do the docks actually have provisions for sale? Wouldn't we want to go to the market?
To the market depot!
That is not a thing.
Okay, so you guys are going to buy some provisions?
Yep. That's the plan.
Okay. Well, it's not too difficult, seeing as how this is a shipping town. So basically, you can just tell them how many people... Mm-hmm. For a crew, how long you expect it to be, and what dock you want to deliver to, and they'll get you some standard provisions, unless you want to buy anything specific.
Do we?
I don't think we need anything particular.
I shouldn't think.
Does anyone have any sort of dietary restrictions?
Everybody looks at Orym. What?
I don't eat meat.
Okay. Plenty of grain.
I eat fish, though.
Fish. All right.
How is that not meat?
I don't know. It's not like cow meat or pig meat or bird meat.
It is a different experience, certainly.
I mean, I've tried meat. I don't like it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I'll grab the random things for Guy.
Some fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
Apples, please.
I have new toe of lizard.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically go into a shop that sells components.
Spell components.
Yeah. To feed him.
Okay. Well, you guys can probably pick all that stuff up for about 150 gold.
All right.
Sounds good.
And noted.
Yay. And basically devote the majority of the Baroness's cargo capacity to it. The Baroness is actually pretty small.
Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we don't exactly have a whole lot of cargo we need to take.
Right.
We'll see.
However, they're going to deliver it to a dock.
Yep.
Do we have a dock currently?
No.
No. Well, we should arrange a dock before we decide where we're going to have them deliver it.
Probably.
Can we have them deliver it to the gate near the dock? Or will we have
to? Seems complicated. Why not just get a dock? Yeah.
I was thinking the Baroness land in the water?
Yes.
I believe
we had this discussion the first time we arrived in Coldport.
Right.
Theoretically, if we knew that we were going to have a dock, we would have actually done that first. So I vote retroactively that we did that already.
We didn't know we were going to need a dock.
Damn it, Rob!
We'll get back to you.
Okay.
Okay. So retroactively, you guys go get a... See, this is what I'm talking about. You guys retroactively get a dock. So we'll call it an even 400 gold for you guys to get the dock for the week and get the supplies.
We have to get it for the week?
Yeah.
Done.
Sparkle shares Ket's frustration with how long this is taking.
Well, I assume our goods are delivered, you know, within the day.
Yeah.
Which means we could just, you know, take off as soon as they're there.
Do they rent for less than a week?
No.
There you go.
That's why.
To have a dock, we must pay for the week. Would they would they recompense us part of our docking fee if we leave earlier than a week?
Nope.
How much is the docking fee?
400.
Well, 400 was the docking plus the supplies.
It was 250
so
was the docking fee.
250 would be the docking fee.
Oh. Okay.
Let's just eat the docking fee and, you know, leave as soon as we can.
Yeah.
I would be okay
with
it. I'd
say pay it and be done with it.
Done.
Okay. You guys have a ship at a dock. It's fully stocked for a long trip. And, you know, some people are looking at it kind of weird because the Baroness actually doesn't have any sails.
Mm-hmm.
Just has a mast with, like, a little helicopter, like, blade on top.
It's a weird-looking ship.
Is there anything else that we need to do here before we get in that boat and fly off to Eel Island?
No one in the twins. Families are safe.
Warden Duthane will probably want to report home to his family of his whereabouts.
I suppose if we can spare a bit more for sending.
Sure. Why not? We've already spent all this money so far.
You are a head of state. Your whereabouts may become important.
That's Spence. True.
Okay, so 800 more?
Yes.
God, this is an expensive ritual. All
right.
Yes.
Yeah, but it gets there, right?
Yeah.
Would you rather have
as opposed to what we usually do.
Guessing game.
Would you need to contact anyone?
I can't contact anyone.
But you can with this. I can teach you.
Any plane?
Yeah.
Plane or sending?
Hmm.
Is it not? No. Oh, no. It's different, isn't it? It's anywhere in this plane.
Yeah.
Okay, it's different. Never mind.
Yeah, planar sending is a separate spell or ritual.
Something we should look into, maybe.
Oh, here come the upsells.
Yes.
Planar sending is actually cheaper than far sending.
Oh.
Well, sure, if you bundle them together with telephone service, you get a monthly discount.
Yes.
It's less likely to come up.
But it is also not actually in a book. It is only in Dragon Magazine 366.
Then it is not.
Well, that makes it not.
Then we can't use it. It doesn't happen.
Yep.
Does not exist.
That's right. Critical Hit mocks those silly dragon spells. That's not true. We just don't use them.
Southern Continent. Do we have any estimation of how long such this trip will take?
We will see you in a year.
We do not.
When you ask around or talk to people around the docks, their general estimate is about 6 months.
One way.
Now, all the way to the Southern, again, Eel Island is about the halfway point, but not a lot of people make that trip. So almost certainly that number is not like that number. That estimate is more than likely off. Now, in which direction is it off? Who can tell? Especially when you factor in a magical flying ship.
So yes,
crewed by a party of adventurers, which is probably the most unstable and volatile factor in this equation.
Six months.
Because you know what kind of crazy detour is going
to the Southern Continent.
One way.
The danger of quantifying a time frame is in...
So we'll get there, we'll have to do our thing, and then we can come back.
I would say it would be wise to leave no specific time frame so that they don't panic if we don't make it back within that time frame.
Tell them at least a year.
Yes.
Tell them you're going on holiday.
It just makes this even better. Here's some refugees. I'm out.
Well, this is Randus's family. Presumably they're used to that sort of thing.
I mean, they're kind of like that themselves anyway.
Yeah.
That seems like a very Duthane kind of thing.
2, 3, 4.
Okay, bye. Have fun storming the castle.
All right. So I guess I send a message along the lines, heading to Southern Continent, maybe gone for at least a year. We'll keep you appraised of any changes in plans. I love you.
Aww. Blah, blah, blah,
blah. Okay.
To my mom.
Okay.
Lady, he has my mom.
He has a speed dial for just my mom.
Yep. You get a message back. It says, if you want to make it up to me, you'll come back with a girl.
Nice.
Like, I punish second, the girl. Second mission appears in like Randus's like reticle.
Hide mission.
Yes.
Find
your
a
nobility
girl.
Now. Your family name has to continue on.
That's true. And don't laugh too hard. You're the only girl on the ship.
Oh, I was specifically told by Randus's mother that I would not be suitable as I am not of the same species. So I'm off the hook.
Yeah, it's the quiet joy in that that really sells it.
Say if we spend
Sakaar, do you need to contact anyone?
No, House Oblia is more than accustomed to my own wanderings.
I say if we spend some time in the city, I might stop by and check to see if there's anything else left in the district, in the Twins District.
Didn't we specifically pull everyone out of the Twins District?
Pulled all the people out. We tried to pull all the people out. Not 100% that we did. And, you know, that's it was Kett's home growing up, so. One last look around before it's completely condemned.
Do you wish to burn it down?
That's what I was going to suggest.
No, because that might release the Eldritch the Abomination.
The
Eldritch
good
Abomination.
Point.
There is no fucking plague! I dealt with that.
Oh, right. Leaving your childhood behind with only a Eldritch Horror to keep it company.
Yeah, that's how I remember my childhood.
Yeah, that's what I did when I moved out of Hayes. Fortunately, the Eldritch Abomination is an old friend, and now I work for him at Major... Never mind. That was too mean.
All right. So... we'll say some guy at the dock is like kind of making sure that the gangplank is working, and he looks over at the Baroness and looks around and is like, "So, where are you guys leaving?"
As soon as we can.
All right. See, this is why we're ending by the week, because if you guys thought you were leaving soon, you'd have to pay extra anyway.
Oh, okay.
And from off in the distance, you see Kett heading towards it. I'm guessing he's, like, carrying a bunch of random stuff, like, under his arm and some stuff sticking out of his backpack, you know. Is that the rake has some kind of a... emotional attachment to it. I remember this rake.
This plant and this chair.
I call him Reiki.
So yes, Kat comes back with a rake and a potted plant and some extra stuff in his backpack.
I love you, fam.
Oh, God.
They were my only friends growing up.
Kett and Rake, best friends. Excuse me.
Kett had two siblings to take care of.
And a rake.
And Rake was very helpful. It's okay, Rake those had a times, wife, but it turned
those times turned he was trying to go out on a date and he left his younger brother home with the plant over watching him.
I just imagine.
I'll
like,
pay you 30
Kett
copper if you
shed.
Watch my little brother all night. Plant just waved.
But yeah,
I'll take that as a yes.
Break, you're the only one who ever understands me.
My rake. I love you, Rake.
All right, let's get on a boat.
I wrote a poem. It's called "A Rake at the Gates of Hell." All right, I'm serious too.
So you guys get on a boat?
Yup.
Yeah.
We're on a boat.
Okay, you guys are on a boat.
All right.
They pull back the gangplank. And there you guys are.
All right, let's cast off. All right.
Somehow Worm has managed to get himself all tangled up in the ropes. I'm trying to help. We have to be tied up to the dock,
which is extra impressive since the Baroness basically operates without any rigging.
I know.
Yes. That's exactly how he got tied up in the ropes.
Honestly, it was part of the supplies. Like the extra rope was part of the supplies that you guys bought, and it would have been like a pain in the butt to be like, no, don't bring the rope, and then subtract that. So we just got a bunch of extra rope that Orym has found.
He's lashed himself to some barrels.
Yes.
Sakaar will help him extricate himself and rope the rope into loops. Mm-hmm.
If he really wanted to be out, he'd teleport.
Shh, don't let him into my secrets.
Secrets?
Shh.
I coil up the rope and throw it somewhere safe on the deck of the Eladrin and won't get tied up in it again.
I got him to do the work.
Do you think we're far enough out we can take off yet?
I'd say so, yes.
All right. To the sky.
To all the right. Sky!
Yes, the Baroness lifts into the sky and flies off.
The fact that it was just kind of skimming the water to start with wasn't...
Yes, the Baroness stops doing its normal ship impression, which it wasn't particularly good at anyway.
And does its more confusing ship impression.
It yes. Bobs at the wrong times.
It yes. Doesn't bob at all. Just...
Yep, it just compensates for the yeah. For the sea so it doesn't move.
Yeah. And the camera pulls back for a wide shot with the sun behind us as we sort of panoramic across.
The sun.
And the music swells.
It'd be kind of hard for the sun to be behind us if we're traveling.
Yeah, I was going to say that the camera pulls back to reveal the sun behind you, at which point the Baroness does a hard veer, realizing that you guys are heading east.
Even more appropriate. Welcome to Critical Hit, everybody. Yep.
We know our cardinal directions.
Yep, there's port and there's aft, and then some alien called it starboard.
All right. So,
okay,
you guys are traveling, and you're going to be traveling for quite a while. To basically, you also the Proud Baroness isn't very large, so you guys are going to have a hard time being away from each other during this time. Naturally...
Are we skipping each other, or...?
Say what? You each get your own cabin, so right. There's at least that.
Alright.
But the cabins are small, and there's basically no common area that's not going to have at least one other person in it at any given point.
Hmm.
And or pet.
And or yes, yes, and or pet.
Generally, yes, there'll be pets.
Is there enough deck space to safely practice one swordsmanship?
Sure.
All right.
I'm pretty sure we did that before, right? When we first were on the Baroness, when we got our
It's a fair question from a new angle.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, yes, Matthew is aware of that, but pointing it out is not a problem.
That's so the car was not there.
Dargan on the ship.
That's right.
That's where the Moon Dargan attacked us.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's bear true. In mind, yes. Any and everything that Torque knew is cut off from my gaming brain now.
That's right. That's the method.
That doesn't yes. Lose a whole lot.
Stanislavski, baby.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So,
how long were you and Sakaar traveling together on this Proud Baroness?
And the Proud Baroness, we used it for several campaigns, but...
Okay.
I say we didn't do much traveling other than this recent excursion to find the source of the assassins.
There was really more fighting.
Uh-huh. Lots of fighting.
Okay. Yes. And then, of course, the assassination attempts began, which an entirely different matter.
Well, yeah. It's good to have that mostly taken care of, I guess.
Well, in theory, we have hired your assassins to work for us, so...
Yeah. Well, it's not like they were the only group, but, yeah.
The enemy of my enemy is now my employee.
Who all is trying to kill you?
Well, mostly the salamander coil, but, you know, whoever they could appoint... At least I hope they were the primary source, but...
It seems to be.
The Stabbington says they were hired by Bot, so, I mean, the Coil got what they wanted in Lek, so they probably don't have hits on the rest of you anymore, though that'll change, I'm sure, as soon as we get to the southern continent. And I mean, there's probably the someone...
Why would they have a hit on me?
But, at least we're back to our normal proceedings.
Oh, I suppose you weren't on the list to begin with.
Of correct. Heading into danger rather than having it come to us.
One would hope.
Yeah, nor was Sakaar for that matter. It was really just Orym and Randus.
And Smith.
Mostly Randus.
Right.
Smith and Torque, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do appreciate your further assistance in all this, Sakaar.
Oh, it is my duty as well as my pleasure. After all, if it weren't for this, I'd be at home.
Why would that be so bad?
It's not bad. Simply not my preference. You've seen what we've been through together. This is actually preferable. Having people come to you with a knife openly and state their intention to kill you and destroy everything you know, as opposed to having them come in the guise of an ambassador and subtly state their intentions, I find it at least somewhat less distasteful.
Where is home? Mm-hmm.
The shores, Oblia.
That island we were just at.
No. Well, yes, but no.
Because I like those people.
They were nice.
I'm fond of them as well. Those were my adventuring companions. When I say home, I speak of House Oblia.
Ah.
Which would presumably be in or near Diamond Throne and the Sundries.
In Diamond Throne, yes.
Have we been through there before? Probably
no,
not.
No, you actually haven't been in the shores. You, Orym specifically hasn't. Mm-hmm. But you met some of Sakaar's family.
Yep.
Huh?
Yeah, his sister. Wasn't his sister?
No, brother.
Brother, okay.
And mother.
Correct. Does this come up in conversation?
Sure.
All right.
I assume the family Surely thing was before.
You remember my mother. She speaks highly of all of you, even you.
I'm guessing not cat. Me, though.
Yes, that cat. In the wake of the initial attempt to overthrow the king.
Yeah.
When you and your companions escaped with the king and queen, It was my mother and brother and associates who helped the king and queen from your position back to the safe position.
Do you remember when we got out of the tunnels and they were there waiting?
Okay.
Yes.
Mm. I was not present, but she has spoken of you. And for her to say anything complimentary should tell you something of the impression you made.
Glad to know someone appreciates us.
Well, my mother calls it taking the measure of your opponent. And she spoke quite highly of Warden Duthane, in fact.
Thanks.
It's going to be a long trip.
Are we there yet?
Yeah.
Are we there yet? No. One day out.
Well.
Yes. It is. Yep, you guys are there. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
I would say Ket's going to have a lot of time to kill. So might as well go internal and see what I can find for gambling.
Okay.
Sure.
Meet any challengers or challenge any opponents or.
So does he just kind of like space out on the deck when he's.
Yeah, go to a room.
Into his room. Okay. Just kind of start holding a sign, not dead.
Not dead yet.
Do not disturb.
Really? No.
Unfortunately, everyone's pointing to the sign after Worm's got him halfway off the deck, off the ship, hanging. Let's see.
Yeah, just like well, at least dragging him towards the edge, going da 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 da.
Worm, look, the sign says he's not dead. Oh, starts dragging him back the other way. This happens at least three times.
One time it's a Viking funeral, you have to put him out.
Not on the ship. Yeah. Or...
no.
Great water.
Sakaar can teach Ket how to play Diamondback.
Mm.
What's Diamondback?
It's a card game.
Can I learn?
Certainly. Do you have cards?
Of course.
Yeah.
Do you need a specific type of deck?
The one with the queens and the kings and the priests and the priestesses and only one magician.
Oh, so the 43 card deck.
Yes.
Okay.
10 kings. No, 8 kings. 10 priests. 6 queens. 4 priestesses. 1 magician. We'd have to add more cards for 4 players.
Your cards are very different than the ones I'm used to on the southern continent, but I'm excited.
Oh, you mean these?
Do you have every manner of cards?
I have all of them that I'm aware of.
Impressive.
Awesome.
So, we begin by drawing for the high card.
Who all is playing?
Ket.
Little Sparkle.
Sakaar.
Okay. Which is good, because the guys with the high Arcana roll should be driving, so... one of them can drive, and one of them can rest.
Mm-hmm.
Guy can pilot the ship. We're fine. He's got the high Arcana roll.
So whoever draws high card becomes the dealer.
All right.
2 cards face down to each of us.
Then what?
All right. You can now examine your cards.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the strength of your hand, you then make a bet. I will wager a copper.
Are there more cards that are going to be played, or is it just wagering on the strength of these 2 cards?
Right now, just these 2 cards.
All right. And what makes them strong or weak?
Well, each card has a value appointed to it.
All right. What card has what value?
That's very complicated. It's actually the combination that has the value. So a magician and a priestess has the highest value. Then a priestess and a priestess, then a magician and a queen. Magician king, priestess king, priestess queen, priestess priest, queen king, magician priest, queen queen, king king, queen priest, king priest, and at the bottom, of course, priest priest. The lowest possible hand.
Can you write that down?
Certainly.
So I can consult it? Thank you.
Yeah, incidentally, Ked can recite that back.
He can?
Sure.
Yeah. Rob can and Ked can.
And, yeah, go exactly. Ked. And he does. Basically... if Little Sparkle pulls out some paper and a pen, Ket can lean over and be like, okay, so it's
magician, priest,
wizard, priestess, queen, priestess, and so on.
Cool. Yeah, she'll want to know the values plus how many of each card are on the deck for the calculations of odds.
Which Ket will also be able to rattle off.
Yes, priest is 5 points, king, priest is 10. Queen priestess.
Along with some unsolicited strategy.
Yes. Nice.
What you really want to do. All right. So, once the wager is made, each of us have to match the wager. There's no ante. So, you don't have to ante. You simply have to either match or fold.
Okay.
Based on the strength of the hand. Now, Hazard, as the dealer, once the wager is made, you expose one of your cards. Then we once again wager. So based on the exposed card in Hazard's hand and what you know of your hand, you can now bet as to whether your hand is stronger than his.
Ah, I like it.
All right. Is there a third phase to the game?
Well, essentially, Hazard, as the dealer, decides when the betting ceases. And though if of course, the third phase would come in if we have the same hand. If we have the identical hand, we'll carry the pot over into the next hand. But whomever has the best hand at the end of the betting then either wins the pot or carries the pot over if there is a tie.
Right. So you're basically a lot of the strategy is with which card you reveal as to whether you try to scare people away by showing them a card that could potentially have a high point value in a combination, or you try to play it low and hope that they take the bait or
bluff if they can beat you.
So, everybody can give me a bluff check. Sakaar gets a +2 because it's his game.
His game, sure.
Oh. Proficiency bonus.
Little sparkles of 20.
Wow. It's got a few extra cards stuffed in the feathers.
And so it is. After the hand is revealed, there is a brief, terrifying in the real sense, but in a game sense, moment in which Sakaar realizes that Little Sparkle bluffed Ket so hard that basically she bluffed Sakaar through Ket.
Impressive.
And Little Sparkle takes like 8 copper.
Woo!
I knew a halfling once who played as well as you on the first time.
Was he cheating?
No. He was very lucky until he wasn't.
A halfling? What was his name?
Frog.
Oh, okay. I've made a halfling friend that fashions himself of a merchant royal.
I may know him. What is his name?
Elk. Calls himself Prince Elk.
Do I know him?
No, but you've heard of him. Your family basically had to shoo his people off your lands when they started an illegal, timber operation.
I do know that name. Pretender to nobility. One has to admire his... I believe the elfin phrase is chutzpah.
No, that's not it.
No?
Chatsworm from the steering wheel.
Perhaps the elven phrase is je ne sais quoi. I'm going to stop now before Rodrigo beats me down.
And Orm yanks the wheel to make Sakaar fall off his chair.
Sakaar does not fall off his chair. Sakaar moves like a graceful whelk.
It's like a graceful whelk.
And does not
fall off his chair. Little Sparkle is happy to kill plenty of time learning and teaching games. She clearly doesn't know nearly as many as Ket does, and so he probably knows all of the ones from the southern continent that she does. But she's unsurprisingly a big fan of any games that involve bluffing, reading people, or cheating.
Indeed.
Ket is
like Ket's games.
Reading
in
people.
In retrospect, perhaps Diamondback was not the best choice to play with Lady Sparkle.
Reading people is Ket's thing. The whole bluffing and cheating, not so much.
Yeah. you guys very quickly, and if the other guys get involved as well, you guys very quickly learn each other's styles. I'm guessing Little Sparkle is very aggressive, because that's kind of what bluffing gets you. Ked is basically a turtle. He like sits there until he has a good hand, then basically takes a big chunk of the pot at any given point. And mostly just calls people's bluffs, assuming they don't get nat 20s. Sakaar has a similar style, but personal panache like loses him a fair amount of money at any given point. Because, you know, he's wise enough to realize when he doesn't have it, but also the game, I mean, feel free to interject here if that's not true, but I'm guessing the game is not as fun for him if he's not playing it in a fun way. Like, if he's not playing it in a somewhat risky way, he's going to have a lot less fun.
100% correct, sir.
Yeah.
It's almost like we created this character together.
Yep. If you play with Randus, is the type of person that tends to win by entirely accidentally exploiting rules. Just because he sees the holes in the rules and kind of tailors the strategy that way.
Randus discovers the one weakness. If you fold on each hand, you can play all night and never lose.
Right.
Yes.
Because a lot of
And there is stuff like that where, and mostly because when he's playing, he's also doing something else.
I fold.
Yep. And if you play with Orym, he tends to
watch the turbulence.
Yes.
Yeah. Orym actually only played a short while until he realized everyone could see the reflection of his cards in his eyes. And so then he's just like not playing anymore.
That's kind of the story with playing with Orym, is that he has these like very insightful strategies that tend to be undone by things that are kind of not in his control, or like he's just kind of weirdly unlucky in games.
It's like Rob playing Magic.
You could say that. He's got the skill, but he gets screwed sometimes.
Yep. Knows exactly what he's doing, but sometimes things just hate him.
Plus, the thing is like, if you ever play a big game, like, basically, and in the end, the rest of you kind of get this, like, playing with Ket and Little Sparkle becomes... any given hand is who's going to win, or any given turn or whatever type of game you're playing, kind of becomes this thing of like, is Ked going to take it or is Little Sparkle going to take it? And the rest of you only really get a shot in when the two of them nullify each other.
Play them against one another. My new strategy. Are you going to let him get away with that? She's clearly bluffing, Hazard.
Yeah, I know.
So better up.
It is an adjustment to be able to read the tell of someone who has a beak.
There's no nostrils to flare.
Right.
No nostrils to flare.
No real mouth corners.
Yep. It's like you don't know if a feather bristling is just like the wind or an actual thing. And also Little Sparkle is like the bluffing equivalent of a tank. Like, she just, you know.
Does her bill have nails or nares in them? The little...
Sorry, what?
Nostril dots.
Oh, nostrils. Bird, yes,
the
yes.
Holes in the beak. Yeah, nares.
Yes, it does.
Okay. But they probably don't flare, what with being made of, you know, horn.
Osseous material now.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, my brain was like, does she have nostrils or not? And I had to, I couldn't walk away from it.
No, she only breathes with her mouth open.
She's a mouth breather.
It's very unsettling because at any given point she has her mouth completely open and she's just looking at you sideways through one eye.
He looks like a banana. That one looks like
that is not canon.
Yeah.
So, yes, you guys play for a while and circulate some... alcohol and salted fish, which you have a lot of.
Salted fish.
Yum. Mm.
I have even worse.
Oh, so have I.
Your tales of elven granola are legendary.
Oh, those pods of casting get around.
That is a thing. So you guys are going to spend a lot of time around each other.
Mm-hmm.
So conversations naturally arise, but of course we have no time to do things naturally here. So I had the players compile a list of questions. So basically, these are things, the responses to which will surface naturally in conversation. So no one is specifically asking a question, or they might have, they might not have. Like, this is just stuff that comes up. And they're basically questions that get asked, or that... or rather, whatever the players say are answers that are led to by the other characters. So, let's see. Who wants the first question?
Randus does.
Randus does.
Yay, the volunteer finger.
Okay.
Alphabetically, he's first. Yes. Brian.
Oh.
Second letter of the alphabet.
You guys are talking and it comes up. How long did the rebellion last and what is the extent of your title?
It was some years. I was actually pulling up notes. Do we actually, I'm not seeing that...
I want to say that the war was...
Was it the majority of that 5 years?
You guys
years?
Were fighting it for about 5 years, yeah. It was all told about five, or, you know...
Right.
Because it exploded in the middle of the season, of the last season, and then it ended before the 5 years were complete. So, about 5 years is reasonable.
So, yeah, it was... For the better part of the last 5 years, I spent some time helping people, helping them where I can. Basically, knock back the rebellion and try to make the war, expedite the whole rebellion as much as I can. My title, it is Lord Randus Duthane, first of House Duthane and Warden of the Southeast.
All right.
What power does that get you?
Say what?
What power does that get you? What do you control? What do you just protect?
He's one of five heads of state now?
Technically, yes.
Who,
if you include the king.
Who then answer to the king?
Yeah.
All right.
He's essentially a peer of Zilvara.
Mm-hmm. So you got moved way up in the station.
There was some vacancies left in the Hallbaron lands, and
war hero.
Asked for some land, and they gave it to me, and then some.
Okay, let's see what else. Let's go to Orym.
Hello.
It comes up. How do you channel arcane magic through a sword?
It's actually something that that I kind of developed over time. It's not really anyone else knows how to do it. It It's kind of like using a wand as an implement or an orb as an implement. You just use your sword and kind of focus the energies down and out and through and past. And it's kind of, it takes a lot of practice and a lot of nuanced movements, but eventually you start to become one with the sword, and it just feels like a natural extension of a wand. It's actually taken many of my students several years to master this technique as well, and it's kind of hard to explain in just a few hours or minutes or days that we're on this ship. But I can show you, and of course he pulls out his sword and does some wondrous little...
Many of your students?
Yes, I actually had students back in the Feywild. With very few Eladrin around, we needed to rebuild our numbers, and many of them looked to me to train them in the ways of Eladrin magics. Mm-hmm. And so I had a select few students that assisted me and helped me and learned, and one of them's kind of in charge now while I'm away.
Oh.
Actually, two of them kind of are.
Yeah, they're starting actually, to learn this whole swordplay magic.
Yes, uh-huh.
Interesting.
They seemed pretty good at it from what I saw.
Yes, very good.
You'll have to teach me some.
Well, you know, it's really...
Eladrin-y?
Yes.
There was the... Feywilden, or maybe do you have to be from the Feywild?
I think the Feywild really helps out. He was, the Wilden that had joined our community were very exceptional and skilled in Feywild magics.
Mm.
Do you have to be a wizard to learn how to do this?
It helps.
What's the advantage of using a sword as opposed to a wand or something more conventionally magical?
Well, if you if your energy is drained, you can stab them with the pointy end.
Wise words.
Yes, I suppose.
And had that happened to you, you'd find your energy drained and needed a backup plan?
It does happen. You would be surprised at how quickly your energies can drain when you're on different planes or when you're in different situations where you're being inundated by forces that want to do you harm. Sometimes it helps to just lash out with the sword and poke them right where it hurts. And depending on what you're fighting, it could be in a lot of different places.
I'm not going to argue with that. I find stabbing things almost always works.
Yes.
The only way it would be more efficient would be with a second sword.
Well, I never tried to dual wield.
I'd teach you, but I'm not entirely sure that... Sorry, I can't say it with a straight face. Bygones, never mind.
So how is things going back in the Feywild?
Oh, it's good. It's growing. Our community is growing. We've had a number of new Eladrin children being born over the last couple of years. The community has grown. We've expanded out into the different seasons. My sister is taking care of one. Another one of our one of my first student graduates is taking care of another season. Has set up an encampment there. Of course, my parents are still around doing their thing. We do have, trade routes between the settlements. And, of course, we've had these creatures called the Wilden who have emerged that are part of our community.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, how do you expand to or take care of a season?
So the Feywild is kind of divided into different areas that we call seasons. The area that you were in was in the Springwood, right? Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
We have the Fen of Winters. We have the, was it the, not the Fields of Autumn.
Jungle
the,
Canopy.
Yeah, that's the summer.
Summer canopy.
Summer canopy.
And was it the Fields of Autumn?
And the Fields of Autumn.
and each resembles a season like you might have in this this plane. And there are different establishments before the events that happened many years ago. We had establishments and trade routes through many of the different seasonal territories, and it was very bustling. And as events have transpired, the Eladrin are not as established as they were, but we're working on that.
So each season is essentially the literal spiritual embodiment of the seasons that we see here.
Yes.
Interesting.
Interesting's a word for that place.
Each is governed by a king or queen, or in the way things have changed recently, different kings and queens.
So the old lords and ladies.
Not all of them, but there are some different things that you probably don't want to get involved with.
Okay.
I've had the pleasure of meeting them, at least a couple of them, and it was a lot different.
Meeting them anew?
Yes, and it's much, much different than the last time we met.
Is that a good thing?
Not entirely. Yeah. The Greater Fae are ones that you tend to not want to deal with, be around, those kinds of things.
That much I understand. Rule one, take nothing. Rule two, they were never heard from again.
Yes. Glad to still have you around to be seen and heard from.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're having like a mild winter, that's because the Court of Winter isn't very powerful at the moment?
No, there's no correlation between the control or the effect that the seasons of the Feywild have on the natural plane. It's just how the Feywild is set up. You have a very nice area that is spring, and suddenly you walk into a hellish jungle that is a steamy summer, and then the next thing you know, you are in the fields of autumn, and then the frozen wastes of the Fen of Winters.
Although a strong enough upheaval on either side can have an effect.
Right, as we saw with the events that happened 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Very much so.
I don't know if that expanded down into the southern continent or not.
What events are you talking about?
Basically, huge, massive storms, changes in the environment, and
unpredictable weather patterns,
or very predictable weather patterns.
Wait, is that when the moon got really big?
Yes, shortly after that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, no, that definitely happened in the southern continent.
And how did you deal with that?
I mean, mostly the guilds did all sorts of stuff to try to, like, capitalize on it. There was a lot of, like, shipments that were getting lost because of the storms, and then other guilds that thought maybe that they could, like, profit over things that were getting lost. The moon was way more disruptive, honestly.
And what about creatures from the moon? Did you have new wild monsters that you had to deal with on a regular basis?
Well, so we didn't have monsters that came from the moon, although the Coil had some brilliant idea of using some sort of like moon juice to give to people, which turned them into monsters. So I guess maybe we got a delayed reaction on that one.
So no spider monkey looking creatures running around.
Spider
monkey lizards. Not that I
monkey lizards or anything like that.
Moon dargons.
The large multi-legged creatures.
Not that I saw.
Interesting.
I saw an inordinate number of both the large and the small variety. The small variety are actually more vexing.
Yeah. I'll agree with that.
Tends to be quite a few of them when you find them.
Yes.
Cool. All right. How about we end it here this week? And we'll be back to more questions and answers and conversations and insight next time on Critical Hit. Until then, keep circulating the pods of casting and sharing those fabulous 5-star reviews over at
put
iTunes.
Right here.
And if you would, share some comments over at iTunes. We'd love to see some positive feedback. Or you can use the comment section over at majorspoilers.com. That's where you can find the complete archives of Critical Hit and all the adventures that we have over there, including world building tutorials and discussions by Rodrigo and a whole lot more. It's all over at majorspoilers.com. Until next time, keep rolling those dice, and let's hope that all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.